where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday to everybody out there in the Central Valley. October 7th, year of our Lord, 2023. You're listening to Central Valley Sports Report here on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports. First String Sports is the place to be. That's what we call it. You guys know where it is. Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. I do my show from the Letterman's Jacket room off to the right-hand side. Look at that Letterman's Jacket from Sanger and Kerman. Clovis High. This is the only place where you get your Letterman's jacket. In fact, I'm looking at a young man right now from, it's like Liberty Madera. He's got a Letterman jacket out on the counter. He's getting it personalized right now. Yeah, this is a great place to do a high school radio show. And I would not want to do the show anywhere else. So thanks to First String Sports. You can follow me on Twitter at Paul Metters, PaulMeadors. You could also follow at 1430 ESPN. We are proud and happy to be the local leader in high school sports. Last night, we were able to broadcast the Clovis West and Clovis East football game from Veterans Memorial Stadium. Gabe Camarillo and I did the pregame, the halftime, and the postgame show, and Jose Gonzalez and I broadcasted the game, won by Clovis East, 42-22. We'll be breaking that game down and a lot more with Gabe Camarillo coming up after the break. He's our right-hand man. Does an incredible job, host of Home Field Advantage. So Gabe and I are going to be talking about that game and much, much more coming up after the break. Also, in hour number one, Sierra Pacific coach Ryan DeSantos joins us. Sierra Pacific was undefeated. They were undefeated 6-0 going into last night's game at Emmanuel. Emmanuel was 3-3 on the season. And they fell in a very, very hard-fought football game, 28-27. They had a 27-21 lead in the fourth quarter. Emmanuel was able to score a touchdown, kick the extra point. But they were undefeated, and that's a huge deal. It's a huge deal because in the 2 years prior, they had won a total of 4 football games. 3 football games last year, 1 football game 2 years ago. And Coach DeSantos took over this year, first-year head coach, and he's doing it right. I've heard a lot of great things about him. We connected a couple days ago and sending some text messages to each other, and he's really turned that program around. I mean, heck, going from 4 total wins to 6 before losing last night. Great job by Coach DeSantos. We're going to be bringing him on. Looking forward to that conversation. At the top of hour number two, well, we're going to get Clovis East's perspective from last night's win over Clovis West. Coach Brandon Nagel is going to be joining us by phone. You guys know how good the Timberwolves are this year. That loss to Clovis North last week was a really good game, 31-21. They fell. It was tied at halftime, but they bounced back with a huge win last night. Ty Miller, the quarterback, was on fire, did Ty Miller type things. A couple of interceptions, but again, that dude is an absolute gamer. Harold Duvall, wide receiver, just making some incredible highlight reel catches. Had a great game. The defense played really, really well, intercepted 4 passes. So Clovis East, really, really good football team. Brandon Nagel's done a phenomenal job in revitalizing that program. So that's the top of hour number two. Justin Garza, quarterback, Caleb Matthews, going to be joining us bottom of hour number two. So Justin Garza was 2-4 going to last night's home game against Bullard. We know what's going on with Bullard, with Coach Arax being let go a couple weeks ago. They were able to defeat Madera the week before. So I kind of wasn't sure what we're going to get from Bullard last night, but Justin Garza played a really good football game. So they got back in the win column with a 27-10 win. And Caleb Matthews was a big part of it, threw 3 touchdown passes. I think maybe 4. I don't know. Check in with him. But I know at least 3 touchdown passes from Caleb Matthews. So great kid, great family. Really looking forward to getting to know him at the bottom of hour number 2. All right. So what's going on with the weather? Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating sponsors our weather report. Right now, what do we got? 70. Laptop computer here with a high of, what's going on here, guys? 94. What? Let me check the date again. October 7th, 94 degrees. Yeah, that's what they're saying. Another 90-something degree day tomorrow on Sunday. And then hopefully we're going to be getting those 80 degrees, 70 degree temperatures in October like we're used to here in the central section. All right, we're going to get into some scores definitely in just a couple minutes, but a couple news and notes here. We had Hunter Babb on the show a few weeks. It's probably been about a month right now, the running back from Carruthers who's setting all kinds of records. So it's almost become commonplace that, you know, you look at the stats, you text Coach Ward, and you're like, well, how'd Hunter do last night? Well, 260 yards, 5 touchdowns. That's pretty much commonplace, and it is. I mean, the stats show it. Coming into last night's game, he was at 1,851 yards and 25 touchdowns. Good for second, what, in the section, in the state? No, how about the nation? Second in the nation, according to Max Preps. Right here in the Central Valley, Carruthers, Hunter Babb. So last night, what did he do? Well, he rushed for 243 yards. And 5 touchdowns, 1 receiving, 1 passing as well. So he scored 3 different ways. Brings him to a total of 2,094 yards on the season. Already broke the school record. He's got 3 more regular season games and then the playoffs. So Hunter Babb, one of the best. I mean, the best in Carruthers history as far as running backs go. But it'd be fun to see, you know, check the stats back at Max Preps and see where he's landing now in the nation. I don't know. He's got a good chance to be the number one running back as far as yards go in the nation. Very, very, very cool. I want to mention, too, really quick, before we get into some scores. Today, we're celebrating my mom's 80th birthday. So putting in a lot of preparation. My wife has put in a ton of preparation into tonight. Today's shindig starts at 2 o'clock. But my mom, she's very into memories and memorabilia and all that good stuff. So we went over and helped set up the house. And she had some stuffed pictures out on the bed. And one was this postcard. And I'm like, that looks like Dick Clark, young Dick Clark. And we know that Dick Clark never aged. But it was a postcard, Dick Clark. And on the back, I turned it around. On the back, there was a personalized written note from Dick Clark. And it said, thanks for your comments and suggestions regarding American Bandstand. It's always nice to know how you feel about the show. Best o' luck, Dick Clark. Signed by Dick Clark. And I loved how he said best o' luck with the little apostrophe there. Dated 1953. So my mom was 10 years old when she apparently wrote to Dick Clark about some suggestions to American Bandstand. And he literally wrote back to her. So that was a really cool piece of memorabilia to see. But, yeah, my mom's one of those moms, a Little League mom. And, you know, you could always hear her from the stands. And one time at practice at Little League, the coach showed up late and we had a couple baseballs and bats there. So she told all the kids, instructed them, yelled at them to get to their positions, and she started to hit ground balls to them, right? And there I am at shortstop. A little embarrassed. There's my mom hitting ground balls. She actually did a pretty good job. So that's one of the funny stories about my mom. So anyway, happy 80th birthday to my mom. Probably listening on Facebook and maybe online as well. All right, let's get into some fun scores here. There are some games on Thursday, and Orosi defeated Granite Hills 56-6. Orosi is one of the 7 undefeated teams in the Central Section right now after last night's game. They were 7-0 on the season, so those Cardinals are doing a great job down there in Orosi. Shafter defeated Delano. There's another one. Check it out. Another one of our 7 undefeated teams in the section defeated Delano 55-14. Taft over McFarland 33-15. Wasco over Chavez 36-23. Liberty of Bakersfield, the number 3 team, according to Cal Preps, all over Stockdale 56-6. And Central Buchanan, they played at Veterans Memorial Stadium on Thursday. I was able to see the second half of that one. Defeated Buchanan 27-6. That game was 0-0 at halftime. And Central, they looked really sharp in that second half. And their defense obviously looked really good as well, holding Buchanan to 6 points. And Dinuba defeated Tulare Western 32-20. And last night's action, we mentioned Justin Garza defeated Bullard 27-10. We're going to be talking with Caleb Matthews at the bottom of hour number 2 about that one. Madera, who could have predicted this game? Madera and San Joaquin Memorial. How about this score, guys? 56-35, the Coyotes beat the Panthers. 56-35, 91 points combined in that one. when Gabe Camarillo and I did the post game, I mean, I said on air, I'm like, that's going to be a low scoring game. And I really thought it would be, but points of plenty in that one. And then speaking of 0-0 games, like Central and Buchanan the night before, Sanger and Edison, 0-0 at halftime. We were surprised by that. We looked at each other like, what? Is this true? Let's refresh it again and make sure it was. And, yeah, Sanger ended up scoring 31 points in the second half and held Edison to a goose egg. So the Apaches win 31-0. In East Sequoia League action, Corcoran defeated Orange Cove 45-21. Lindsay shut out Farmersville 45-0. And Strathmore defeated Woodlake 22-0. Another shutout in that one. East Yosemite League action, El Diamante beat Menachie 24-14. Mount Whitney over Golden West 33-23. Redwood defeated Porterville 21-0. I think Porterville's now lost three in a row. They were one of the undefeated teams that we had an eye on, but they've dropped a few in a row. In Mountain League action, Arroyo Grande defeated Rigetti 31-8. I believe Rigetti, actually, no, Arroyo Grande is 11th now, according to Cal Preps, 11th in the Central Section. So they're going to be most likely a D1 team in the playoffs. St. Joseph defeated Paso Robles 35-7. McLean in North Yosemite League action defeated Sanger West 42-20. Andrew Pancotti, one of our favorites, is doing a really good job there at McLean. Roosevelt defeated Madera South 38-0. And Torres defeated Hoover 42-17. In Northwest Sequoia League action, Carruthers defeated Parlier 55-16. We talked about Hunter Babb, now up to 2,094 yards through seven games. That just blows my mind right now. He's just an incredible, incredible athlete. Chowchilla defeated Fowler 26-22. Liberty of Madera defeated Minarets 47-21. And Riverdale defeated Yosemite 22-6. Scroll down a little bit to Southwest Yosemite League action. Frontier got a really good team. One of the undefeated teams defeated Garces 38-15. Bakersfield Christian, keep an eye on those Eagles. They're locked and loaded right now. Defeated Ridgeview 49-7. Central Valley Christian and Selma, I believe that ended up being a 43-7 or 43-6 final in a running clock. Kingsburg holds on to defeat Kerman, a game that was tied at 13. Vikings win 19-13. Emmanuel defeated Sierra Pacific. We're going to be talking with Coach DeSantos of Sierra Pacific after we talked to Gabe Camarillo. Emmanuel beat him late, 28-27. And Reedley gets the first win of the year over Hanford West, 60-42. We mentioned Clovis East and Clovis West, 42-22. The Timberwolves over the Golden Eagles. Gabe and I are going to be talking about that one. And obviously Brandon Nagel, head coach of Clovis East, at the top of our number two. And Clovis North, again, we go by alphabetical order for league, so we're finally getting to Clovis North. Defeated Clovis 24-7. That game was 7-7 at halftime. Clovis North outscored the Cougars 17-0 in the second half. A couple of rushing touchdowns from Andrew Chavez. I believe McKay Madsen had a rushing touchdown as well. So a little bit of a scare for Clovis North. They are undefeated and the number one ranked team at 7-0. In West Air League action, Kalinga defeated Avenel 24-0. Dos Palos came back to defeat Mendota 44-41. Fireball defeated Tranquility 34-15. West Yosemite League action, Hanford defeated Tulare Union. I set the over-under on that one at 100. Both of those have high-powered offenses. And, hey, they came close. They came close. They combined for 91 points. Hanford defeating Tulare Union 57-34. And Lemoore, good team. Really good team. Defending D2 champs. Their defense is really, really strong. Defeated Mission Oak 42-17. Centennial defeated Highland. I believe it was 24-7. It's not here on Cal Preps. I heard Centennial was down seven starters in that one, so they grinded that one out. Exeter, one of the seven undefeated teams left. They are now 7-0 on the season. Defeated Washington Union 37-15. Yeah, that about wraps it up. So those are scores with a little bit of commentary. I'm going to be breaking down those games more as the morning goes along. But thank you guys for listening. Really, really appreciate it. So coming up after the break, Gabe Camarillo and I are going to be talking about Clovis East, Clovis West game, and much, much more. This is the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. What's up, everybody? Thank you guys for tuning in. You can listen, obviously, on the radio, 1430 ESPN. or on the app. Download that. I do that. Listen on the app, or you could listen on your computer, or any mobile type device. Just go to 1430ESPNFresno.com, click on Listen Live, right? You can listen to my show. You can listen to Jose Gonzalez in the morning, Tony D, Bulldog Hour, and of course, Gabe Camarillo, Monday through Thursday, 3 to 5. I tell you what, I said this at the end of our broadcast last night between Clovis East and Clovis West, but man, it's a lot of fun to cover these kids, a lot of fun to talk about high school football. For most of these kids, this is it, right? A lot don't go on to play college. They don't play at the next level, so this is it. High school is supposed to be a great experience, supposed to, you know, fortify their teenage years before they go off to college and try to become an adult. And so, you know, the high school glory days, you talk about those as well. But, yeah, to me, there's nothing like high school sports. And I'm really happy to have Gabe Camarillo join me on this great adventure. And Gabe does a fantastic job, as always. But we had a bird's-eye view, and he was actually down on the field for most of the game. But he had a really good perspective between Clovis East and Clovis West. And, man, I tell you what, Gabe, it was just an interesting game. So the game started out, the first couple possessions were interceptions by each team. Clovis West punched first with a touchdown and got a two-point conversion for an 8-0 lead. And then they traded touchdowns, 21-15 at half. And then the second half just felt like it was all Clovis East. They dominated that second half physically. So what are some of your main takeaways from that game before we get into something more specific?
I think Clovis East won in large part because of a 4th-and-13. And let me just pull the curtain back. That speaker over there is really loud. I can hear myself over there.
We just turned it down.
4th-and-13, they were down 15-7. And I felt like that was a gutsy call, right? You go for 4th-and-13. If you're Clovis East inside the red zone, maybe your kicker is able to kick a field goal and make it a 5-point game in that situation, but you go for the fourth down and you get it. Mike Miller completed a pass to Aiden Wilson, and Miller was able to just complete passes all night long. Really impressed with him. Long completions to Harold Duvall, to Daniel Booker on a couple touchdown throws in the second half. My takeaways is that 4th-and-13 was a really smart call in hindsight, because you're able to make that a 1-point game. And then from that point on, right, Clovis West was at 15-7. They got outscored the rest of the way. 35-7 in the final three quarters. Like that, when you outscore Clovis West 35-7 in the final three quarters, you show that you are the obvious better team. And we'll talk about some of the different decisions made throughout this game and talk about specific plays, but there was no doubt that it didn't matter who was at quarterback for Clovis West. It didn't matter what was going on for Clovis West, if they had Marshall or not. Clovis East was the better team, and they deserved to win.
Yeah, you mentioned that really quick. Marshall Sanders, the standout player from Clovis West, who's headed to Fresno State, was suspended for this game for two personal fouls in the Buchanan game, so he had to sit out this one. So, yeah, I believe that played a factor too, for sure. But I was impressed, Gabe, with Clovis East's defense. You mentioned the how they were really physical, four interceptions, but I thought they really came to play, and we saw that in Clovis North. They held Clovis North the week before to 3.8 yards per carry, which is their bread and butter, talking about the Broncos. But, you know, they could play defense in the secondary as well. They were showing cover three, cover two, showing five linemen on the line of scrimmage, and then dropping two in a zone where their DBs and safeties are able to roll over and cover those Clovis West wide receivers. So I'm impressed by, the bounce back and the resolve that Clovis East. I mean, they know how tough the track is, but coming off of that tough loss where they could have moved up to number one in the Central Section, I think they showed a lot last night.
Yeah, they're built to win in the track because they're able to defend these passing attacks. Like, they were able to effectively stop Clovis West throwing the ball. And if you're able to do that, you kind of stop their offense. And they're going to be able to do the same against Central next week, because I feel like they match up well against Central. Yeah, Central has outstanding receivers in Braylon Hall and Noe Felix, but as you mentioned, Clovis East has speed and skill in the secondary with Daniel Booker and the guys I mentioned already, Duvall and Tommy Nix. Like, those guys will match up well against Central's guys. And then at that point, it's like, okay, so if that's like a wash, if you just say that Central and Clovis East are even on that spectrum, well, then what about up front? that's where Clovis East, I think, can do its damage against a Central or do its damage against a Clovis West or maybe a Buchanan in a couple weeks. They're able to run the football really well. I saw Central do that against Buchanan a couple nights ago, and I think that Clovis East could do the same because they got two really good backs in Lindsey Graves and Caleb Slocum, where if they need to get like a third and short or if they just want to run the ball on first down, they can pick up 5, 6, 7 yards on that first down and make it even easier for their offense. And did I mention Ty Miller is one of the better quarterbacks in the Valley? Because he's definitely playing like it.
He absolutely is, and I can't wait to talk to Coach Nagel about some of these guys individually. But yeah, Lindsey Graves, number 23, only a sophomore, was hurt last year for the majority of the season, was going to play as a freshman. But, man, that number 23 for Clovis East, he really impressed. Daniel Booker had, I think, his breakout game of the season offensively and defensively, and Harold Duvall and Ty Miller did their thing. And, of course, Tommy Nix as well. He's an athlete. And I just saw that, right, Gabe? Tommy Nix got a Division I offer last night from University of San Diego. Is that right?
Yes. Did you see that? That's right. And, you know, he had some big plays. I think all of them had big plays. And that's what I like about this Clovis East team is it's so deep, and there's so many skilled players that we're mentioning. It's like 8, 9, 10 players that we mention every week with this team. When's the last time Clovis East had this kind of depth at those kind of positions?
Yeah, good team to watch. Yeah, we'll be talking with Brandon Engel. Like I said, they got that, you know, that Clovis North game, and they know that they could play with anybody in the Central section for sure. So confidence is flying high for Clovis East. All right, let's flip it a little bit, Gabe. Talk about Clovis West. You mentioned some of the curious decisions that we saw on the field, rotating number 9, Tyler Patrick, and number 10, the young sophomore Tyler Franklin. Yeah, a couple curious decisions. You mentioned a 4th and 13 play that was completed, and then they rotated quarterbacks out for different types of packages. But, you know, despite the 4 touchdowns, Tyler Patrick, he's got a good arm, and you know, he can get the ball to receivers. He made some really good throws last night. So just a couple curious decisions about rotating quarterbacks and getting the senior out for a sophomore.
And I understand taking a starting quarterback out if it's obvious that they're struggling and that you think your backup quarterback gives you a better option, because that's what Central did last week against Clovis. They felt that David Marquez gave them a better option, so they went with him. And well, look what happened. They almost beat Clovis despite being down 17 at halftime. This was not that kind of situation, though, because there was nothing, I think, in the past 5 or 6 games that gave you the idea that Franklin would give them a better chance to win. And there's also this. It's not like they took Patrick out at the start of a drive. They took him out in the middle of a drive. They took him out after he completed a 4th down pass to move the chains and give him 1st and 10 at the 12. So it's like, I would understand if you took him out after an interception or after an egregious fumble, but it wasn't like that was the case. He had interceptions, yes, but they still kept him in, and then they took him out after he made a big play. So it's like, if you're going to take him out after making a big play, well, there's no limit to when you'll take him out, and no quarterback can really operate with full confidence under those kind of circumstances.
And, you know, when you start the year off with a loss and then win 5 in a row and you're winning football games, it gets not necessarily swept under the rug, but right, it looks a lot better when you're winning football games.
And I think Franklin, I want to add this, I think Franklin will be good down the road, but the first 5 or 6 games, what has he done to make you think, okay, he is a much better option than Tyler Patrick? I don't think he's a much better option than Tyler Patrick. There's nothing that I think would indicate that. So if it's a close battle between the two of them, then go with the senior, because last year Clovis West went with the senior. They didn't rotate quarterbacks last year, so why are they rotating quarterbacks this year? I don't get it.
Yeah, certainly some eyebrows were raised in that high level situation. And it doesn't get any easier for Clovis West. They got Clovis North next week, and then on a short week they have Central on a Thursday. That game is at home at Veterans Memorial Stadium, and then the final game of the year on October 27th, the rivalry game against Clovis, that's going to be at La Monica Stadium. So Clovis West falls to 5-2 overall, 1-1 in the track. Clovis East improves to 6-1 and 1-1 in the track. So let's talk a little bit more about the track. All right, we've talked ad nauseum sometimes about how balanced it is and how good it is, and it's really shown. That Buchanan lost to Central on Thursday night. The Bears are struggling offensively. Well, they have 6 points in both games, right? And then Central, if they pull that game out in overtime or in regulation, I know they spent a lot of energy coming back against Clovis. You know, if they win that game, they're 2-0 playing East, West, and North, which is probably going to be the hardest 3 games in league. So, what Is the track pretty much holding firm, Gabe, to what we thought this season?
Yes, and I think Central's really the wild card here because I could see them winning all three of those games because of just the absolute ceiling of this team, knowing that they have talent that could spread Clovis North out. Also, I could see them losing all three of these games because of their struggles to stop the run and their struggles just in general when it comes to offensive and defensive line play. Now, having said that, they did just have 6 sacks against Buchanan, and the Jeremiah Cooks for Central got 4 of those sacks. So I know Central's defense came to play against Buchanan, but can they come to play? Here's a challenge for the Central defense. Can they come to play next week against Ty Miller and that Clovis East offense, right? That's going to be the huge X factor. If Central pulls off the upset at home, and that's right, they'll be home underdogs against Clovis East, it'll be because their defense steps up like they did this past week against Buchanan. So Central's the wild card. And it's also about who the quarterback's going to be because, yeah, they got their own quarterback controversy to sort out. David Marquez threw for almost 300 yards and 3 touchdowns, and he came in for a majority of the second half and I think part of the second quarter as well. The starting quarterback to start the year was Earl Riley, and Riley looked really good through the first 4 games, but turnovers cost him, I think, the opportunity to play the second half against Clovis. If Earl Riley doesn't turn the ball over, if he looks really good against Clovis East, then maybe he stays the quarterback the rest of the way, but I'm not really sure how Bix is going to handle that quarterback situation. Do you play Riley, who's going to be here next year? You want him to be confident for next year, or do you go with who's the hot hand right now, David Marquez?
Yeah, Marquez actually looked really good in that second half. He was throwing some dimes all over the field. So, yeah, lots of good stuff happening in the Tri-River Athletic Conference. All right, let's switch a little bit to the C-MAC. Sanger and Edison, how about that? 0-0 at half, and then Sanger pulled away with 31 points. But, you know, Madera and San Joaquin Memorial score, that was crazy. 91 combined points in that one. And then Justin Garza over Bullard, 27-10. We're talking with Kayla Matthews at the bottom of hour number 2, the quarterback for Justin Garza. It's still Gabe. I don't think anything has changed. It's basically Sanger and et al. In that league, right?
I think Madera is the number 2. That's clear right now. I talked to Kenny Palinelli earlier this morning. He said that they're no huddle offense. Tired out Memorial. Yeah. It really got Memorial cramping in the first quarter, and Memorial wasn't able to stay in front of it. Joel Arellano, who is a great pitcher for Andy Underwood and the Madera Coyotes, he's also a good quarterback, threw 3 touchdown passes and ran one in as well. So Joel Arellano, their lefty quarterback, 4 total touchdowns. Mendez, their running back, had about 200 rushing yards and 3 scores as well. So yeah, Madera has one of the best O-lines in the Valley. They play fast, physical. I'm looking forward to seeing that offense take on Sanger's defense at Madera Memorial Stadium this week.
All right, that's going to be a lot of fun to look forward to and talk about, Gabe. All right, so really quick, Gabe, we got a couple minutes here. I just want to mention the other undefeated teams in the Central section. So I believe I mentioned Shafter at 8-0. Atascadero is at 7-0, defending. Okay, what are the defending state champs? They won Division 4 last year, Atascadero, or 5? I can't remember.
They won the Division 5 Central Section Division 5, Championship.
Okay, got it, yeah. Exeter at 7-0, Tehachapi 8-0, and then Orosi we mentioned at 7-0 as well. So right now, this has been updated from last night's scores. So Clovis North is number 1, Clovis East is 2, Liberty is 3, Sanger is 4, this is Cal Preps, Frontier is 5, Clovis West has fallen to 6, I believe there were 4 last before last night's game. Clovis is still holding strong at 7. Central Valley Christian at 8, they are a base D3, so they're going to be a Division 2 team. Central is 9, Hanford is 10, Aurora Grande is at 11, Lemoore at 12, St. Joe's at 13, at 14 is Garces, which is pretty interesting to me. They are 2-5, but ranked 14 by Cal Preps, and then there's Buchanan at 16. So any thoughts about playoffs, Gabe, or anything jump out to you on that? I think, you know, obviously – we're going by Cal Preps. There's no going back to that. But anything jump out at you?
Well, it looks like Buchanan's right now in the Division II title picture, which is a little interesting, right? Because yeah, the Buchanan Bears are a proud Division I football program. I think Buchanan is right now focused on getting one more win this season. And they got 3 tough games coming ahead of them because you got Clovis this week. Then you got Clovis North the following week. And then you finish up with Clovis East. They need one more win. If they don't get a win, they'll finish 2-8 and unfortunately miss the postseason for them.
That is wild. Buchanan potentially not making the playoffs with only 2 wins. So, yeah, Clovis, Clovis North, Clovis East, 3 really tough games. All right, Gabe, always fun chatting with you about high school sports. Great job by you, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thank you, Paul. And go Sooners. I'm cheering for them against Texas.
You're going against Xavier Worthy and Central Grad.
I like the story of Oklahoma. They went 6-6 last year. They can be 6-0 after a win over their rival Texas Longhorns. I got to go with the story, man. I'm a journalist.
You are. All right. I'm giving you 15 more seconds. Fresno State, 5 o'clock on Fox against Wyoming. Undefeated Bulldogs against number 4, Wyoming. Who do you got?
I got to go with the Bulldogs just because they got the speed, man. Wyoming, they're physical, yeah, but they don't got the speed to keep up with a Jalen Gill or a Malik Sherrod or a Mac Delaney. We love Delaney. So, yeah, I think the speed for Fresno State is going to win out tonight, and it's going to be a big game. It's on Fox.
All right, good call. I gave you 22 seconds there. All right, good job, Gabe. Talk to you later.
All right, thank you, Paul.
You bet. All right, Ryan DeSantos, first-year head coach at Sierra Pacific, is coming on after the break on 1430 ESPN. Sports. Listening to 1430 ESPN. Thanks to First String for being our day one sponsors. They are incredible. Love doing my show here. Sell everything, Letterman's jackets to equipment, football, baseball, softball, basketball, anything you want. Coming under First String Sports, they're definitely a place to be. One of my favorite things to look at too are the little chairs. There's chairs here with the school names and the logos. Looking at Clovis North, there's Edison there. So get yourself a little chair. All right, bringing in Sierra Pacific head coach Ryan DeSantos, all the way from Hanford, man. When I first texted you, coach, I was like, man, I'd love to have a conversation. Phone calls are totally fine, but you can drive all the way in to First String Sports here in Fresno. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. So thanks for driving in, first of all. Really appreciate that.
No, thank you, Paul, for having me on. Appreciate it a lot.
So you guys came in to your first year head coach, started off 6-0. And so last night, right? We'll get the bad stuff out of the way, so to speak. All right.
Let's start there.
We'll start there and get that out of the way first. But go into Emmanuel, tough place to play. Beautiful stadium, by the way. Right?
Gorgeous stadium. Yeah, great venue.
And I was following the game via Max Preps, and had a couple Emmanuel people that were texting me throughout the game, and just back and forth. And Emmanuel, you guys took the lead, 27-21, and Emmanuel scored it to take it 28-27. Just talk about the game, what flowed, some of the key points in the game last night.
Yeah, no, Emmanuel's a good football team. Much respect to them. They're well coached. We knew that going in. They're big, and they're big up front. Their nose guard was 6'4", 290 pounds, going against our 5'9", 182-pound center. So that was fun. But, the recap of that game is just, we had 7 turnovers. From 3 fumbles to 2 block field goals, missed PAT, interception. I mean, we found every chance to lose, and it came back to haunt us. I've been telling the team for weeks, you can't make mistakes. I mean, mistake-free football, that's what we got to do. And eventually mistakes like that will come back to haunt you. But, to have 7 turnovers and lose by 1 against a very good Emmanuel team, that made me kind of be able to sleep last night. But we just have to fix those mistakes.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, all those turnovers and yet still have a chance, in the fourth quarter to win that football game. I think that says a lot about you and your program and your kids as well. So after the game, again, you guys are 6-0. You're having a really good season. You're winning a lot of the close games. What did you tell your team after the game?
My first sentence when I sat there or stood over them as they're taking a knee, I said, guys, I've never lied to you guys, never will. I'm just going to be straight out honest with you, but you deserve to lose this game. I would be lying to you if I did not say that. We talked about not playing smart, turnover free football, mistake free football, and eventually that those come back to haunt you. But I did tell them they deserve to lose. But I also told them the better team lost. No disrespect to Emmanuel whatsoever. They won and they've earned that victory. But I did tell the team the better team lost.
So we're going to get into the evolution of your program and how you've been able to turn around a lot of things at Sierra Pacific. But what has clicked this year in those 6 wins? Like, what has it been? The defense? Has it been special teams or your offense? What's been the main reason you guys were 6-0?
I've got to give a shout out to Coach Musselman. Jason does a great job with the defense. We have our defensive staff is really, really well, really good. Our D-line is probably our staple of our team. They're, I wouldn't say we're big up front, but for our team, we're the bigger guys up there, stronger guys. So I would say our defense is our strong point right now. They've had three shutouts this year so far. Should have been a fourth one. Orange Cove snuck in a long run on a couple missed tackles, but it could have easily been four shutouts. And the defense played very well last night. I think they only gave up one touchdown in the second half, I believe it was. And they had a lot of help. Let me just put it that way. So it was a lot of things happened last night. I'll never blame referees on anything like that. We lost the game. Referees don't throw picks and referees don't fumble. So that is totally us. But, we're kicking – going for the field goal for the win with 5, 6, 7 seconds left, and of course the sprinklers turn on in a stadium. I don't know how many stadiums have their sprinklers set at 10 o'clock at night on a Friday, but those went on and then went off about 3 minutes later. So that was weird.
So you had to clear the field.
Kind of back up a little. Everyone had to clear out. It was on the opposite scoreboard or opposite side of the scoreboard. We didn't block down on a field goal, and it gets blocked. That's what happens. Just small things I talked about at practice, and that's what happens in games like that.
A lot of things have gone your way this season. We mentioned those three shutouts against Hoover, 40-0, Corcoran, 52-0, Kern Valley, 49-0. Those were back-to-back games. Before the year, well, first of all, when did you take over the program? When were you exactly hired at the beginning of summer, at the end of last year?
No, I got the job. I had the interview. It was during Christmas break, last school year. So I got the job. I think it was the second Tuesday in January, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. My AD, Mr. Snyder, calls me and says, looks like you can't be wearing black and red anymore, so we want you to take the helm of, at Sierra Pacific. And I said, let's go. Let's roll. So, but yeah, I would say it was January.
So that's the black and red of Hanford High. We're going to talk about that in just a second. So you had a decent amount of time to prepare, get your staff ready, evaluate the program where it's at, and set some goals and all those great things. But what were the expectations for this year for you and your program?
First thing I did was call coordinators to get coordinators involved, and I didn't want just a coach. I wanted the right coach. This program needed a lot of, no disrespect, for the previous years, but they didn't have an identity. They had no structure there whatsoever. I'm hard on myself. I knew after meeting the kids in January in the gym, meeting the entire program, we have size there. We have good kids. This is one of the best teams I've ever been around in 20 something years. It's just with attitude and attendance. Work ethic. I think they've learned how to work a little harder than maybe what they're used to. I think our boys are not used to being coached up the way they are.
Yeah.
We treat it like a business, and if you don't hold your value in life and business, we're gonna find somebody else to take your place. It's either going down the JVs or you're no longer part of the program. So.
Talking with Ryan DeSantos, first-year head coach at Sierra Pacific. What are some cool traditions? I've heard of some neat things that you've done with the program already. So what are some neat traditions that you started?
They've always had to feed the bears. We do that on Wednesday. We don't bring the JVs in like they did in previous years. I want the JVs to be able to look forward to something. But we are definitely eating good on Wednesdays. So every home game, every game is an away game because our home games are at Hanford High School, at Neighbor Bowl, and so we start to load. It doesn't matter if we're driving 3 miles or 50 miles. That's everything's a home game or a away game for us. Seems like. But we started this thing called the Bear Walk. So we meet in a classroom or our meeting place, and we talk about what we need to do to win, and how are we gonna take care of business, and just kind of one last little pep talk. Then I have them get up, they grab their travel bags. We go out to the middle of campus. No one's talking. You can hear mm-hmm. a pin drop, and they're focused. We all take a knee. And they have about 45 seconds to just pray to whoever they want to pray to. Think about the game. Think about their families. Think about what they got to do to win this game. Their job. So again, you can hear a pin drop. And then I tell them all rise, And I just get in the middle of them, and I usually end it. I have a couple sentences I'll tell them, and I always end it, "I love you guys, let's go." We put our hands up, 1, 2, 3, Bears. And Bears, it echoes out the entire stadium, or the campus.
Wow.
And then we get in 2x2 formation, and the bus is there already, and then we get on the bus and go.
It's game time.
Yeah, game time. Focus time. The Bear Walk.
That is awesome. I heard you describe the program as being in hibernation for a few years, and now you guys have come out ready to play, right?
Yeah.
Sleeping giant, so to speak.
Yeah. You know, it's a buddy of mine was at the house, and when he said that, and and I kind of went with it. You know, the hibernation's over. You know, all right, Bears, all right, that goes.
That works.
So we put that on the poster and some T-shirts, and the kids bought into it. You know, but I told the kids, you know, that's all talk. You know, if you want to, you know, talk is cheap. You know, anybody can be talk. I tell them all the time, I want to be skinny. Unless I start walking and exercising, you know, it doesn't happen, you know. You know, so, but, you know, they, like I say, I think they, you know, our other saying that we have is trust the process. And I think they definitely trust the process.
No, and it showed on the field. Again, you guys are 6-1 on the season. How many players in your program right now? You just have a JV team, no freshman team, but how many total players you got?
We're looking a little under 100, maybe 90, I'd say 97, 98 players in the entire program.
Okay.
Between the JV and varsity. So
great size.
Yeah.
Great size. Really
good. We've got a lot more kids to come back. Some kids quit from previous years that didn't want to play football anymore, but I think they see the excitement, and you know, we bring, you know, the music during the game, and, you know, the smoke, and we had skydivers last week.
Awesome.
You know, so culture has definitely changed at Sierra Pacific.
Tell me about the landscape more of Hanford. So the three high schools, Sierra Pacific, you guys, Hanford High, Hanford West. So is it open enrollment? Is there a certain junior high that feeds in? What about the Dairy kids or the surrounding areas? Where do they go?
Yeah, there's two major, like big junior high schools, and they kind of feed into like pretty much all three of them. All three high schools. It's like if kids want to go somewhere to a certain school, they'll find a way to get there. We get a lot of like the Armona kids, which is a community just west of us. We get a lot of those kids, but like the bigger country schools, you know, Kit Carson, Pioneer,
yeah.
Kings River, schools like that. It's all boundary line. It just depends where you live on your address. So, but again, it's if a kid wants to go to a certain school. You know, if you want to play football in Hanford, you know, you go to Hanford High for years. You know, hopefully Sierra Pacific can change that now. So we got a lot of growth. Hanford West High School, they're at a landlock, so there's no building going on over there. Hanford High is pretty much a landlock. Sierra Pacific, everything's building, everything. All the new homes are going west of Hanford. So we're going to be building a new structure on campus, a two-story structure. It's like 6 or 8 classrooms. So we're about 1,000. We're about 1,080 students at Sierra Pacific. You know, obviously, we're the smallest school in the district, but hopefully that's going to be changing here soon. I know the waiting list is probably the biggest in the district to get into this school. That's the school everybody wants to get to.
And I've been on your campus before for a couple basketball games, and, yeah, it's the campus looks great.
It's beautiful.
And, I know Kings River as well because we used to play them. Trevor used to play them in flag football. Kings River Hardwick, right?
Yeah, Kings River, I think it's Hardwick, yeah.
Yeah, it's Kings River Hardwick. That's the name of the one of the junior highs there, K-8 school. Talk about your coaching journey a little bit. I know you coached at Hanford High. You're a Hanford graduate. You're a Hanford born, Hanford bred. Is that
yep,
how that
yep.
looks?
Born and raised in Hanford. Graduated in 1994, obviously Hanford High School. The late Coach John Clark offered me a coaching job. The coach at Hanford High, and I really wasn't sure if I was, you know, high school material. So, but I tried it, you know, freshman offensive line coach, and kind of worked my way up. You know, 2 years later, I was on varsity and did that for a long time. And of course, worked under Coach Young, and then, you know, now the coach, Coach Sanchez. But yeah, I never wanted to be a head coach, and you know, here I am. You know, didn't even want to coach football, but here I am now as a head coach. Even 18 months ago, I didn't want to be a head coach. Never thought about it. You know, we're getting ready to play CBC last year in the semifinals at Hanford High, and you know, Coach Sanchez comes up to me, and goes, "Are you gonna apply for the job?" And I'm like, "What apply?" He goes, "Oh, come on, are you gonna apply for it? It's gonna open up." We heard. I said, "Let's just try to beat CBC," which we did not. But I said, "But yeah, no, it's, you know, here I am, and I don't regret my decision at all. It's been fun. It's been challenging. A lot of hours. I know all the things that head coaches do. I have always known what they had to do. I just never had to do it. A lot of lot of sleepless nights sometimes.
I bet. The life of a head coach in any sport here in the Central Valley, then the secret hours that you guys put in, obviously the families too are take huge priority as well.
Absolutely.
Are you more offensive-minded, defensive-minded guy? You're offensive line coach,
yeah,
right?
Offensive line coach, yeah. I'm probably going to fire myself this year because, you know, that's probably not our strongest point of our team right now, so I can't blame anybody else but myself. But, yeah, I would say offensive-minded. That's why I needed to bring the right staff in. I don't know anything. I don't know much about, you know, secondary play. So, you know, Coach Reeves does a great job with those guys. And that's why we needed the right people, not just people.
So let's talk about your remaining game. So you got Reedley, who won their first game against Hanford West, correct?
Hanford West, yeah.
60-something to 48?
62-42 or something like that. Something like that.
A lot of points.
A lot of points scored.
And then there's Exeter on the 20th. I know you don't want to look ahead against anybody else. Oh, is that a Saturday game against Reedley? Is that
right?
Yeah,
it is. Yeah. We, you know, three high schools in town, you know, one stadium. So we have six home games this year. Only two are on Friday.
Oh.
So three Thursdays, a Saturday, and then, of course, two Fridays.
And then you got Exeter, and Exeter is undefeated this season. Got a really good squad. And then Hanford West, there's one of those Thursday games you're talking about.
Yep.
So what, you know, after last night's game, you guys are 6-1. So like moving forward, these next three games, do you feel like a little bit of a reset? Like let the kids' minds and body rest and hit these next three games hard. Or are you just like, man, we're going for full board on Monday? What are you and your staff gonna do?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, definitely got a rebound. You know, I told the team last night. The other thing I said is, you know, if we let this hover over our head all week, you know, Reedley's gonna take it to you as well. And so we need to, you know, maybe put our heads down for a second. But
yeah,
when Monday comes, I'm gonna think about it. Actually, on the drive home today, what we're gonna do on Monday, we're probably gonna watch a lot of film on Monday. We're probably going to condition them real well. Probably nothing really football related, I think, because of the Saturday game. So we're going to just kind of take a day off of football, but still, we have a conditioning coach that likes to condition. So we are a very well conditioned team. You know, we're try to do an up tempo offense, but yeah, we're probably going to take Monday off in some aspects of things. And we're beat up.
It's
right now.
It's a long season. We're beat up
right now, and then, you know, not to look ahead. And obviously, you got, you know, Exeter in a couple of weeks, and They look good. They look really good.
Talking with Ryan DeSantos, head coach, Sierra Pacific. We've got about another minute here, Coach. All right, so we had a good time texting each other. We got a mutual friend, Neil Van Groningen, which was a lot of fun. And so we don't want to talk about the Raiders, right? You're a big Raiders guy. you specifically told me let's not talk about it, and then I bring it up. But college football or pro football? What do you enjoy watching?
College football all day. College sports all day long.
Yeah.
Sometimes I rather watch a good high school football game on TV than the NFL. I'm not too big on the NFL anymore, even pro sports. But, yeah, I am a Raider fan. It's hard to say, but definitely college and, you know, of course, go Irish.
Go Irish.
Yeah.
And go Dogs, too.
You got to. We got two former Bullpups that are at Fresno State right now. And, they're backyard team. You have to root for them.
You have to.
Unless they play the Irish.
Maybe someday. Maybe someday. I think that would be great to play Notre Dame. All right, Coach. It was a ton of fun to talk to you and get to know you and for you to drive here. It was a pleasure. Good luck the rest of the way. You got Reedley on Saturday. Then you got Exeter and finished with Hanford West on Thursday before the playoffs. But thanks, Coach. I really appreciate you coming on. Good luck.
Oh, thank you, Paul. I appreciate it so much, and thank you for the opportunity.
Absolutely. When we come up after the break, we'll be talking with Clovis East head coach Brandon Nagel on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome to hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports. Just had a really good conversation with Coach Ryan DeSantos of Sierra Pacific. They started off the year 6-0, lost a tough one last night to Emmanuel. It was fun. He was talking right now off air as he was leaving. He's like, man, I'm not used to talking about a program. I was just an O-line coach for all these years. Nobody ever asked me any questions. All of a sudden, hey, I'm the head coach. I got to answer these questions. But he did a fantastic job. If you missed any of the show and you want to go back and listen, it's pretty easy. Just go to 1430ESPNFresno.com. go to podcast, go to Central Valley Sports Report, and click on any show that you want. You can go back and listen to past interviews, and yeah, it's a lot of work, but it is a lot of fun to talk to great people from around the Central section about high school sports. And we got a good one on the line right now, Coach Brandon Nagel of Clovis East. His Timberwolves are currently 6-1, 1-1 in the track after defeating Clovis West last night, 42-22, a game that we had on 1430 ESPN. So I had a view from the top from this game, and Coach Nagel had a view from the field. But Coach Nagel, congratulations on that win. Thanks for joining us on this Saturday.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
No, absolutely. And you're doing the dad thing right now at your son's soccer game? Is that true?
No. We had a flush and lift this morning. So
got it.
Yeah. So my boy understands.
I definitely want to break down this game against Clovis West. You guys are coming off that tough loss against Clovis North the week before. You guys traded touchdowns to begin the game, and then I thought, especially from the second quarter on, you guys just dominated. So right now, I don't know, it's about 12 hours after the game. It seemed like that game ended around 11 o'clock. What are some of your main takeaways from last night's game?
I guess my main takeaway is no win's easy. It was a tough night. It was odd. It was warm. It was humid. It was just a weird feeling for the night, and it just took us a little bit to get started. And I think once we calmed down and settled in, then everything started to click, and I couldn't be more proud of our boys fighting for full quarters.
So I felt like there were a lot of key moments in last night's game. Is there a key play that stands out to you? I know Ty Miller was incredible last night, and Danielle Booker had some great plays and Duvall's catches. But is there a key play that you can specifically look to as being one of the really turned the game around in your favor?
Yeah, I felt like me being a defensive guy, I felt like when they had the fake punt and. We had punt safe on, and they still got it. And then I think the interception a few plays later was the key to that. And I felt like that kind of was like our kids relaxed a little bit, took a deep breath. I'm like, man, we can do this. And so I think from that point, for me, I felt like that was a key turnaround.
And as a defensive guy, what did you try to throw at Clovis West? I saw some cover two, some cover three. You're showing rushing five, and then you're dropping two. So what? Was that pretty much the game plan? Going against Clovis West?
Yeah. You can't give them the same look every down. They have great athletes, and so we just wanted to disguise things, look different on different plays, give different windows for the quarterback, and I think it worked. I think we had five turnovers last night, and I couldn't be more proud of our defense for that.
Yeah, four interceptions and one fumble recovery. Breakout game from a couple guys. You and I talked a little bit last night after the game. Lindsey Graves, your running back, sophomore, a little bit hurt last year. Man, he is running the ball extremely, extremely well. Had one touchdown last night's game. Yeah, what's the limit for this kid? He looked really strong last night.
Yeah, he's a kid that since a freshman we were like, man, he could be special. He's really fast, really quick, and so our big thing this year was keeping him healthy and getting him reps and those things. And so as each week has progressed, he's gotten a little more carries, and he gets a little bit older. And so last night was we kind of felt like this was his night, and I felt like he did an amazing job and showed that.
So the difference between he and Caleb Slocum, it seems like Lindsey's got a little more juice. Slocum is your tough yard guy running him up the middle. Is that kind of the case with those two running backs?
Yeah. And we have Tyrone Bishop as well. But,
that's right.
Caleb's playing some defense right now too. So he's going both ways. And so we needed these young guys to step in and run the ball for us.
Well, I saw number 24, Slocum, playing defense. I'm like, man, that guy's getting in the backfield. He looked pretty strong back there on defensive end.
Yeah. He's always been a great defensive guy, and we needed a way to plug him in, and it started last week at Clovis North, and then it carried into this week. And he's just a really good athlete. He's actually got a great football IQ, so we can put him anywhere, and it's our defense.
Talking with Brandon Nagel, head coach at Clovis East. All right, Danielle Booker, breakout game for this kid as well. Just as impressive as his two touchdown catches, he took a short out pattern and ran about 65 yards for a touchdown. But defensively, he had two pass breakups, I think, in a row, and another one just a few plays later as well. That kid's starting to step up too, isn't he?
Yes, he is. And it's been, we have some great receivers and great DBs, and So it's been, you know, it's on us to find the right combination, and we just told guys to be patient. He hasn't got the touches he probably thought he would have already, you know, being a number one guy at Roosevelt. But, he's been patient, and he finally got his chance. And, I mean, look what he did last night. It was amazing.
I know you are a perfectionist. I've watched you coach for a couple years, and you demand a lot from your players. But what are some things you probably already seen film already, you know, from last night's game? But what are some things that you would like your squad to play, you know, to clean up for next week?
We got to be better up front and both sides, and just clean up the little mistakes. I think we had a few turnovers, and I just think we haven't. I can honestly say I don't think we've played a complete football game yet, and so I'm excited knowing that when that day comes, what we could look like. I mean, we're 6-1, and we still haven't played our best football is ahead of us, and so that's exciting.
Yeah. So, what did you learn about your team last night, coming off that loss against Clovis North, where you guys were, you know, a couple possessions away from winning that thing? But what did you learn about your team last night that you're like, oh yeah, we're still right there. We got some things to improve on, but yeah, we're looking still pretty strong.
I would say when I first came in, culturally, it was usually after a loss, it would be another loss. Kids would be down and things like that. And I think that was the hard part. I think it took a quarter to kind of go, oh man, you know, this isn't the same Clovis East teams in the past few years, you know. And so I think once they realized and believed in each other, then that's when the turnaround happened. And I'm really excited. If you checked our schedule last few years, after a loss, we don't usually follow up with a win. And this year we did. So I'm excited about that.
So, you know, just thinking about where this program was 7 or 8 years ago and now being one of the top two teams in the Central Section, you guys are ranked number two on Cal Preps. I mean, what does that mean to you and your staff? What does it mean to the kids? I mean, do the kids fully get it? Are they just playing football, playing with confidence? But, I mean, let's talk about what it means to you and your staff and to the school.
I mean, I don't know how these rankings work, but we know we go. It's a long road. Again, like we won one track game last year, and so our goal is to win track games. Our season's going to be based on that. Everybody's always said that we do a good job in non-league and don't finish in the track. And that's kind of our motto this year is finishing high. It's for the track. We need to win games. And that's the way we're going to prove ourselves. And I feel like that's what all my coaches' focus has been on is what can we do in league and how do we look and how do we stay healthy? And I think kid wise, we don't really let them think about it.
Yeah.
We don't talk about it. We don't talk about rankings. We don't do those things. We grind and we grind and we grind and we practice, and we don't give them much time to sit back and think about those things.
Well, I'm curious, like, do the kids remember how bad it was, you know, 6, 7, 8 years ago with Clovis East, or is that just a foregone, you know, you're like, man, that's not even in their conscious, where they're just focused on now, or do they kind of understand the history of Clovis East football? I mean, even going back to the really good teams in the 2000s.
Yeah, I think some of them do. Like Ty was been in the program, and I mean, he's been in and things like that. And I think some of our guys do. Some of our guys don't really know the history so long. They were born after that, and so we try to tell them what kind of program, what kind of history we have, and we're trying to get back there. And we, you know, sometimes we'll tell them about the great players of the past, and they'll look at me, what are you talking about, coach? So. We try to give them some knowledge and those things, but you know, kids are kids and they're always focused on the now, and so we just kind of focus on that.
You mentioned Ty Miller. I mean, just an incredible kid, and he and Harold Duvall were on my show about a month ago, and just remarkable athletes. But better yet, those are really, really good kids. You know, quarterbacks get a lot of love, and teams go as their quarterbacks go. Everybody knows that, but this kid is super special. And just last night, you know, he's able to shake off a turnover and a ball slipping out of his hands a couple times. That was strange. I don't think I've ever seen that happen twice. But you know, he just makes plays with his arm, makes plays with his legs. That sprint out on the left hand side was for a touchdown was a really, really good play. But you know, just talk about his development and just how much the team trusts him.
I mean, it's easy to trust a guy like that that works hard. I mean, he never takes a day off. He studies film with our OC, and he does everything that you ask him to do. And we couldn't be more proud. And I think that's why the kids, he doesn't doesn't talk a lot. He leads by example, and he does a good job also putting the ball in the right spots at the right time and to these athletes. And I think, you know, they have that trust because they know when the time is right and when we need it, Ty's going to do that.
And he throws to a couple really good receivers. One is Harold Duvall. He's a junior as well as Ty, which is pretty remarkable. We have these kids for, you know, remainder of the year and next year as well. But, yeah, you guys trust Harold as well. Just find those matchups and just Ty's got some – He's got some, you know, connection with Harold, and he made some really, really tough catches in traffic last night. Impressive.
Yeah, Harold's he's special, you know, and so he wants the ball. He demands the ball, and that's all we can ask. I mean, that's the crazy part. We have five, six guys that want the ball, but he has that high upside, and he wants to go get the ball, and we always say he has that dog in him. And so we've been super proud of him. And he's playing every down of defense, and that's not easy either. So super proud of him.
Got to count for number two out there, talking with Brandon Nagel, head coach at Clovis East. And then another player I just want to mention here, Tommy Nix. He's just an athlete. You know, he's all over the field, a two-way guy as well. You could give him the ball, you know, on offense, on a fly sweep type play. But he's a dude on defense too.
Yeah, two picks last night. He's kind of the leader back there in the secondary. And then, I mean, this guy never takes a rep off. I mean, in all my years, 23 years of coaching, I've never had a kid play every single down like he does. Super special, never says a word, works hard, does everything you ask, always yes, sir, knows yes, coach, and all those things. And so what a stand-up guy. I can't believe this kid doesn't have like 30 scholarships. I mean, he's amazing.
You got one. I think he posted it early this morning. So University of San Diego's offered him. So good for Tommy Nix on that. Really good to see. I want to ask you, Coach.
Super happy for him.
Yeah. He definitely deserves it. Hey, so, again, you're a defensive guy. Your offensive coordinator, Colby Hunter, he definitely knows what he's doing as well. I mean, the Clovis East offense is definitely not the Clovis offense of old that you think about. It's a spread offense. You guys sure like to hit that home run ball. And I just want to ask you, what's the thinking behind the offense? Are you guys looking for matchups? You're like, okay, we're going to go short here. We're going to run the ball here. But, hey, we're gonna find that matchup and try to go deep. Is that kind of the offensive philosophy?
I mean, I can't speak for Coach Hunter. I mean, he trying to get in his brain. That guy's a genius when it comes to that stuff. But,
yeah.
You know, I get to listen and things like that. Yeah, he's always looking for matchups. I mean, he's looking for box numbers and things like that. You know, football coverages, all this stuff, and that's what he does, and he's good at it. And then what helps is, you know, having such a high tempo. Sometimes even if we don't make the right play call, or if he feels he doesn't, then the tempo helps it. So I've tried to get into his brain, and he just sees the game differently. And I mean, I'm super lucky to have an offensive coordinator like that on our staff.
Yeah, he does a great job. And seeing the up-tempo offense for Clovis East, I mean, you can't think about the previous play, whether it worked out in your favor or didn't, because you gotta hustle your butt. You got to get that play call in, and you got to get to the line. It was super, super quick. Playoffs are a different animal. Again, I don't want to look ahead, but I just want to ask you about – the mentality going into playoffs, how playoff football is different. So the types of teams that you believe are the ones that go deep in playoffs, are they the more physical teams? Are they the teams that, are built for the trenches? Are they the teams that are more mentally tough or fully healthy? What type of football team do you think it takes to get deep into the division 1, 2, 3, or whatever type of playoffs?
Yeah, I think number one is running the ball. And so if you can run the ball, I mean, if you look at the championship last year's Liberty and Memorial, they can both run the ball. And then I think on the opposite side, it's stopping the run. I mean, because when you get later in November, the weather changes, the field changes. Obviously you're going to have, it could rain, the fields could be wet. And so we've always felt like you got to have a physical run game if you're going to go far. Ball, you know, it gets colder, the ball gets harder. And so you got to be able to run the football. And then, you know, defensively, you have to stop the run. I mean, if you can't stop the run, then you're not going to go very far in playoffs.
And you mentioned your number 27. You know, he scored the final touchdown. So your number three running back, so to speak, You know, when you got a lot of options at running back, where a defense doesn't have to key on one specific guy, that could go a long way. And you guys are definitely built.
Right.
You're built for the rest of the track. So I want to talk about the track as well. You know, Buchanan, Clovis West, Clovis Central, and Clovis North. There's some different styles of football that you have to prepare for. You know, we know what Clovis North's capable of. You guys did a fantastic job holding their running backs to 3.8 yards per carry. There wasn't, I think the longest run Gabe Camarillo counted in that game was 15 yards, so your defense stepped up, and then you guys were able to take away the long pass, except for one, I think, against Clovis West last night. Clovis and Central and Buchanan, they all bring about different types of offenses as well. So game planning against teams in the track, especially for you as a defensive guy, presents different challenges, doesn't it?
Yeah. Long weekend. Everybody's different. I mean, spread to power run to multiple formations to multiple fronts. I mean, and that's what I mean. Like, it's just a grind, and it's not easy all the way across. All these coaches, they work so hard. And I mean, talking about all the track coaches, and so because it's not easy, we all run something a little bit different. And so you kind of have to have a little bit of different scheme each week because everybody's different. And that's what makes it hard. And I feel like that's why we have the best league. You got the best coaches, you got the best players, and it's pretty. Pretty awesome to coach in it. You know, I got to enjoy it a little bit more, but you know, when you're in a grind in it, all I want to do is work. So it's fun, but it's a grind.
Yeah. And you know, I want to explore this a little bit. We got about three more minutes here, coach, talking with Brandon Nagel, head coach at Clovis East. You know, you mentioned Colby Hunter and how it's tough to get into his mind because he sees the game differently than other coaches. How do you view the game being a defensive guy? Do you see it more as a chess match where, okay, you know, they're bringing out this when the tight end comes over here, they're going to run it this way, or when they're in this formation? Do you you mentioned how sometimes you need to enjoy it more, but do you enjoy that part of the football game, the chess match, the trying to, you know, outthink the other coaching staff?
Yeah, that's the fun part, and that's why I have Josh Lopez as our D coordinator. You know, being a head coach now, I have so many other things going on. There's days where, you know, I'm got to leave practice to go do this and that. And so I miss, as a head coach, doing that. The chess match more for me is both sides of the ball. But those guys do a great job. But, yeah, I definitely, you know, early on as a young coach, I would see, you know, you kind of start from D-line to linebacker to secondary. And then as you get older as a coach, you go from secondary up and you see, like, okay, how does your secondary work to your linebackers, to your D-line? And I love that chess match. I love defense, and because I think offenses are way better than defenses these days, especially with the high school hashes. So it's fun. I enjoy it. It's a grind. It's really hard. It's not easy to defend offenses these days, but, I mean, that's why we're in the business, to try to get better and stop these crazy offenses.
Crazy offenses, right? And you mentioned the hash marks.
Yeah.
Coach Hill talked about that on the broadcast, and that's something that really never occurred to me until Coach Hill brought that up. So explain what the difference is in the hash marks in the high school football is.
Well, the high school ones are wider, so when you're on a left or right hash, it creates more space to the field. And when you face teams that have really, really good athletes and you put them in space, it's hard to defend. You have high school defenses have to be a little bit different than NFL defenses because NFL hashes are tighter and everything's in the middle. So it makes it really hard. You have to figure out your dividers and things like that. And that's why I think high school offenses, you see high scoring out there all the time because of that. I mean, if you have a few good athletes and you put them in space, you might stop them four times, but if, you know, two times they break it, it's a touchdown. That's two touchdowns. So it's 14 points. So it's not easy defending, great athletes and great offenses.
Yeah. One thing too, that I think a lot of people regarding high school football don't know is that it's 12 minute quarters compared to, you know, 15 or halftime. So it's for college, but yeah, 12 minute quarters for high school football. All right. Couple more questions here, coach. I love talking with Coach Brandon Nagel.
Yep.
From Clovis East. What is the confidence level of this team? You mentioned how you can't remember the last time Clovis East has, you know, had a win coming off of a loss, but you know, what is the confidence level of this year's team right now?
I think it's pretty good. I think right now you're in that mid-season, not lull, but you're just in that mid-season grind. And I think they're grinding and grinding. And then each week is a new game plan and a new thing. And new opponent, and it's not easy. And so right now our biggest thing is just staying healthy, you know, trying to stay in shape, still lift a little bit. And, you know, last year we had so many injuries. I think that's really our focus this year is how do we stay healthy? Because, I mean, the healthiest team at the that gets the playoffs and through it, it usually wins. And so that's our whole goal is just trying to get through these games and stay healthy and also win. So, yeah, I would just say they're confident as each week, you know, it grows and grows, and I'm hoping it continues to grow.
All right, what do you got going the rest of the day? A little college football, a little more film watching. What do you got?
Oh, yeah, film watching, college football, you know, got Alabama at 12:30, and so the Bulldogs tonight, and it's going to be a good Saturday.
I agree, and a good Sunday as well. Thanks for taking the time, Coach. You've done a fantastic job. I've always enjoyed talking with you. You make time for me even before games when you're really focused, so I really appreciate that about you, and good luck the rest of the way.
Yeah. Thank you. I thank you, Paul. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet. Coach Brad and Angle, Clovis East. They are now 6-1 on the season after defeating Clovis West last night 42-22. All right, after the break, we're going to be talking with Caleb Matthews, the Justin Garza quarterback. They were able to defeat Bullard at home last night, 27-10. We're going to be talking about that and much, much more on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to bottom of hour number two, Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports. See people here getting their Letterman's jackets worked on. Yeah, getting them tried on. That's awesome. Love to see that. Love to see all the high school kids coming to First String Sports. We love high school sports. We just had a great conversation with Brandon Nagel, head coach at Clovis East. His Timberwolves are now 6-1 on the season. I don't know. I think they might crack the top 25 in the state by either SB Live or Cal High Sports. They're definitely on the cusp. They had that, you know, that tough loss to Clovis North, but bounced back really nice with the 42-22 win over Clovis West last night. And speaking of really good games, Justin Garza had one last night, 27-10 over Bullard at home, improved their record to 3-4. Right now we got Caleb Matthews, the Justin Garza quarterback, live here at First String Sports. All right, before the game started, Caleb had a 15-0 TD to interception ratio. Had a couple touchdown runs as well this season, only a junior. In last night's game, Caleb, well, first of all, thanks for coming to First String.
No appreciate problem. It. Thank yeah. you for having me.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. So last night against Bullard,
four touchdowns
in the win. You guys missed an extra point. Scoring those four touchdowns all through the air. You know, what was working last night offensively for you?
Offensively, just getting the balls to our guys, you know, just working down the field, trusting in our coaches, and just playing hard.
What passes do you remember? Sometimes it's probably tough to remember everything, but yeah. So two to London Alexander.
Yeah.
Right? One to Petrosan, so Jack.
And then running back.
And then your running back. Okay, so let's talk about the two to London.
The two to London, I think they were both of our screen passes, just allowing our Jack to block and then him just making one man go and then just scoring a touchdown.
So they weren't go routes? They weren't deep routes? So he did all the work.
Yeah,
basically.
He did.
he made you look good.
He made me look good.
and then to Petrosans, who's your tight end.
Yeah.
He's an offensive coordinator's son. So what play was that?
It was kind of a broken play. His route was kind of just to clear everything out, and the pocket kind of collapsed, and I just ended up finding him, and we scored.
Do you feel like it was a game that you guys, like, okay, we need to go in and win this one? You guys are 2-4 coming into the game. Was it like, guys, we got to play our best tonight. We need to prove that we're the better team tonight.
Yeah, 100%. You know, we had a long week of practice. Everybody was – you know, kind of tired of losing and just building that chip on our shoulder, especially a big game for us, but also Coach Ferris being as he was at Bullard. And we just wanted to go out there, set the tone, and get a win. So to set our rest of the CMAC up.
Yeah, and, you know, Coach Ferris is, he's a Bullard grad and coached at Bullard and up until a few years ago before he took over the head job at Justin Garza. Is that something that Coach Ferris talks about at all, or is that something that you guys – used as motivating for beating Bullard?
It was kind of both ways. Like, he was really excited after to get that win to, you know, because last year we lost to him, but, you know, this year we got back and we won.
So they beat you guys last year. So yeah, you got them on your home field. So what was the feeling after the game? Like when the clock hit zero, was it just like, yeah, we won, and then maybe afterwards you celebrate a little bit? Or was it just like, heck yeah, we're back?
Yeah, like kind of we're back, you know, putting two and two together finally. Just a big win for us to just kind of prove to everybody that we could play.
Absolutely, and you got three more games left in the CMAC. I want to talk personally, Caleb, about how you handle losses, right? Like, does it take you, you know, you dwell on them? Does it take you a while to recover? Or are you just like, hey, we'll get them next time? What's your type of personality?
You know, I get pretty upset, but then it's also just kind of you have to move on, get ready for the next game. You can't dwell on it too much to affect the next game, and you just kind of have to let it go sometimes.
All right, so a little bit of both.
Yeah, for sure.
And as a quarterback, you're the leader,
100%.
Right? So a lot of people react to how you're going to react as well. What's your favorite type of play that you're able to complete? You mentioned the short passes to London, and then, you know, George, or oh my gosh, George Peterson's son Jack,
yeah.
You know, being able to find, you know, an open spot sitting in a zone and finding him. What's your type of play that you enjoy running the most?
I just like kind of when I'm moving around in the pocket, kind of when it collapses and I'm moving around, and then just find somebody kind of deep down the field. Those are my favorite, because, you know, sometimes Coach P gets a little mad. I'll have the ball in one hand and, you know, just making a play, because, you know, afterwards he just kind of like, whatever, don't do it again, but good job.
You know? So you like to carry the ball with one hand? You like to put it out there a little bit?
I try to work on it, but, you know, sometimes it just kind of happens that way.
And you have really strong hands. You shook my hand a couple times in the last few weeks, and, yeah, you definitely have a strong handshake, so skip that ball. Does Coach Peterson's talk, you know, he coached a really good quarterback that I covered at Clovis West, Adrian Martinez.
Yeah.
You know, we know what Adrian did throughout his career and in college, and then, you know, had that stint with the Detroit Lions in their training camp and got a touchdown. That was awesome to see in preseason. That was really cool. You know, does Coach Peterson's talk about that at all? Talk about Adrian, you know, the strengths that Adrian have are obviously different than yours. Adrian had those long strides he could get out in space. But, you know, knowing that Coach Peterson's coached a really good quarterback like that, you know, how does that translate to him coaching you?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So I always talk to him about it. We kind of have that conversation about like some of the things Adrian did and kind of our similarities, and just he kind of compares us like we're really the same person, you know. Sometimes our game's a little different, but we're like the same people, and he really likes just the way that we play, and just always trying to compare, because obviously I want to be the best that he's ever coached. So.
That's a good comparison. Yeah. That's awesome. You lead a prayer before the game, and I know faith is very important to you and to Coach Ferris as well. So why is leading a prayer and why is that important to you?
It's really important to me because obviously football is only going to go so far, and I believe that God, that's eternal, and that's a lot bigger than anything I will be able to do on the field or off the field. And just, you know, helping out with my teammates, just leading them to God, I just feel like that's the most important thing I could do more than anything on the field.
Absolutely. That's great. That's a good attitude to have. Are there some other quarterbacks that around the Central section, some other high school dudes that you're pretty tight with, that you're like, keep an eye on them? Like, maybe you're checking Twitter, checking their stats. Oh, they had a good game. That's cool. Or maybe you text some other dudes.
Yeah. Me and all the quarterbacks around the section are pretty close. We've all worked with each other, and we all feel like we're all going to play on Saturdays, and it's going to be pretty cool to see.
How about are there any quarterbacks like at the pro or college level that you like to emulate? Who are some of your favorite guys to watch?
Yeah, right now my favorite guy is Caleb Williams. I like him a lot, just kind of what he's able to do on the field. And that's my favorite. I pay more attention to college because I like the game more in college. But, yeah, I would have to say Caleb Williams is my favorite right now.
All right, if you're Caleb Williams and you got all these options, people are talking about, you're going to be – I mean, you're clear-cut number one whenever you come out. But I think I saw on Twitter that – he's like, I can make just as much money staying in college with NIL deals, right, than I can my first year of college. So if you're Caleb Williams, right, I mean, what would you do? Would you rather stay in college for as much as you can, or would you rather just like, man, I'm going to go to the NFL and start my career that way?
Shoot, I don't know. I'd probably, you know, just go to the NFL because obviously that's the bigger dream. And then – you know, kind of just learning in that area, just kind of growing the NFL, because you never know, some people stay and then they'll get injured and then they'll be able to play again. So
yeah, you never know. Yeah. Talking with Caleb Matthews, the head coach of Justin Garza. So I also heard that you got a nickname.
Yeah.
What's one of your nicknames?
My close family, they call me Buddha.
What's the story behind that?
I was like a fat baby, apparently. Yeah.
So I mean, and it just stuck. They still call you that.
Yep. Still to this day, you know, most of the time that's kind of almost their first choice. Like they'll say it to me at the game, because sometimes if they're just yelling Caleb, I don't really hear it. But if they say Buddha, I know who's talking.
What do you mean apparently? You said apparently I was a fat baby. I mean, you've seen pictures, right? Obviously,
I mean, I haven't really seen that many pictures.
Oh, got it.
But that's what they said.
But also, you got another distinct quality. You got curly blonde hair that stands out, right? Yeah. And so, you know, you get a lot of attention with that. Are people like, man, is that hair real? I mean, what are some of the comments?
Yeah,
that you get?
A lot of people think it's a perm, or that's their first thought, but they don't really know that that's my real hair.
It's natural. It looks great. Makes you stand out. How about growing up? All right, growing up, did you always play football? Right. Well, usually, kids start with soccer. Right. You start you're 3 years old. You're playing soccer. You're playing what I call amoeba soccer, where you're just running around, kicking the ball, kicking other kids in the shin. But did you play soccer, or what some other sports?
So soccer was kind of my first one, and then it became soccer and basketball. And I really enjoyed basketball, and I played that. I thought that was going to be my main sport, and then I kind of was introduced to football. You know, didn't really know what was going to be my favorite, and then it kind of just went off. Like, kind of in middle school, I just knew that football was probably going to be it. I didn't want to, like, tell my parents, because I was like, no, I like them the same. I don't know. But then just kind of just being able to throw a touchdown, that's a lot different than hitting a three or anything else.
All right. So what do you remember about basketball? Like, what did you love about basketball?
I just like scoring a lot, playing defense, just a lot with my team. It was just a fun experience.
Did you play like the little hoopsters or anything like that, or Saturday basketball?
I played that. I played AAU. I stopped after my freshman year, but I might play this year again. So.
All right. You know, I'm friends with the head coach over there, Justin
Coach
Garner.
Voss.
Coach
yeah.
Voss or Kenny. Yeah, I went to college with that guy. So he's trying to recruit you a little bit? Or?
No, we joke around sometimes. I'll ask him, be like, what am I play this year? And he's like, don't get me all excited. But yeah.
All right. I'm going to encourage you right now, live on air. Why don't you play basketball this year? I would love to see Caleb Matthews out there on the basketball coach for Coach Vosser. So you said you kind of fell in love with football maybe in junior high?
Yeah, I would say it was probably about junior high, just waking up on those Saturdays and going playing. And just there was nothing like scoring a touchdown.
Did you start out at quarterback, or did you play other skill positions?
No, I didn't start out at quarterback. I started out like a receiver, and then I played also linebacker. And I just had like a – I would talk to the coach always, like, begging, like, Coach, let me play quarterback. And he's like, nah, man, you're too athletic. We need you at somewhere else. And I was like, dang. And then we kind of had some injuries and everything, and there was the opportunity for me to play, and I just played really well and kind of just stuck.
Do you remember your first touchdown pass in those early days, or do you remember a specific throw? You're like, man, I think I can do this.
My first touchdown pass was probably in elementary school, because they would put me at running back, but then – and whenever we'd pass, it'd be a wildcat, and I'd just get the ball and throw it. So,
playing for Coach Ferris and Coach Petrasons, like, what do you love about playing for those two guys? Obviously, Coach Petrasons, the offensive coordinator, you're working directly with him on the offense, and Coach Ferris is he's the CEO of the program. He's the director of sport. But what do you love most about playing for those two guys?
They're just good people, you know. They're just always going to try and elevate you to get better and work with you and the team just to complete whatever goal you want to accomplish.
What about your teammates? What do you love about your teammates?
I love my teammates, you know, because one thing about us is we're not scared to play anybody, and we're always going to fight for each other. And it's just that brotherhood that we have to always go out and fight with each other.
What are you going to remember most from last night's game against Buller? Do you remember the four touchdowns? Do you remember the feeling of of beating Bullard, you know, like saying, like, we're back. You're going to remember that interception that probably made you really mad, your first one of the year. Of course, I brought that up, right? You're like, what are you doing to me, Metters? So, but I mean, what do you remember most about last night's game?
Just how everybody was – everybody came out ready to play kind of with our chip on our shoulder, and we just – we all worked hard, and we all played really good game, just kind of putting everything together that we've been working on. You know, we've had mistakes the past few games, but we were able to, you know, get rid of those and just – play our game on both sides of the ball.
So, yeah, that that opening C-Mac loss to Sanger, I think it was 41-17, maybe 41-14, mm-hmm. something like that. Sanger's good. Like,
yeah, they're strong. Good, they're strong. But I will say we made a lot of mistakes in that game, and it was a lot closer than the score.
So you guys are playing Edison, the Memorial, then you finish with Madera. Did you see that Madera and San Joaquin Memorial score?
Shoot, yeah, that was crazy. I looked at it, and I was kind of like, sometimes on Max Prep's house, like a wrong score. Yeah. I was like, is this real? But shoot, it's crazy.
That's what we did too. We're like, wait, hold on, let me hit refresh. Is that score real? Combined for 91 points. Talking about Madera and San Joaquin Memorial. All right, so I heard another story that a little birdie told me about this. Something about a bear? Did you have like a bear encounter or talk to me about this bear.
So I used to ride dirt bikes a lot, and we were up at our cabin one time, and we were just riding on some back trails, and we had like these headset things so we could talk, and I was in the front for a while, and it was kind of, we came to this point where you have to cross a creek and go up a hill, and I was the first one. I think it was me, my dad, and my uncle, and I got past, and I was like, oh, kind of looking back, waiting, and I just came to a stop. I came up looking, and then I was like, what the heck? And I saw, like, four or five cubs just go up a tree, and then, a mama bear, like, look at me, and I was like, oh, shoot. And I was like, oh, Dad, turn around. We need to turn around. And I was trying my best to turn around, and my bike stalled. And I, like, looked back, and I saw the bear start coming towards me, and I was like, I was like, oh, shoot. You had to haul, yeah. And then my dad came up behind me, and he just, like, revved up his bike a lot, and the bear took, like, a gallop, and it, like, roared at me. And I was like, oh, shoot, I really need to get out of here. And I started my bike as fast as I could. We turned around, and we just left.
And that was it.
Like, that was it.
Left it in its wake.
Yeah, we weren't going to go look back.
No. So, like, four or five cubs, so, like, you're upsetting the mama.
Oh, yeah, the mom was... Yeah, because it was the bear, the cubs were in the middle, and then it was me. And it was like, not that, it was probably about, you know, to the maybe a little closer to the desk. And they were right there. But, yeah, it was pretty crazy.
How long ago was this?
I think like 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was pretty crazy.
So you survived a bear. So you survived a bear attack, right? That's awesome. That's definitely a great story. We talked about some of your favorite football players. You know, is there any college interest right now, Caleb? I know you're a junior. You got a full year, and I know summers are really big, 7-on-7 and showcases, different things like that. Do you have an offer from San Jose State?
Yeah, I have an offer from San Jose State, and then I'm talking to a few other coaches. I'm talking to Michigan State right now. They've been showing a lot of love. I've been in contact with Oregon and some other schools like Cal. And just some out west, out east, Pitt and Vanderbilt. But, you know, that's about it right now. Just still looking for.
Feel pressure with that kind of stuff. Obviously, it's very exciting, right? It's nice to be recognized by these colleges. But is it at all a distraction or like, hey, that's awesome. It's going to take care of itself. But I kind of focus on football. Or how do you approach that?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You know, it's cool to see that, you know, because obviously you dreamed that from a kid, and now it's kind of like happening. It's just like, wow, like this is really happening. And I think it just adds more motivation. Like, man, this can really happen. So why not work harder and go get it?
Talking with Caleb Matthews, Justin Garza, quarterback. Are these coaches directly contacting you? Are they contacting Coach Ferris and he's talking to you? What does that look like?
So most of them contact me, and they'll also contact my quarterback coach, but not necessarily Coach Ferris. Just, you know, kind of talking to me now since they're able to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fresno State, nothing yet from them?
No.
All right. We'll work on that. We'll definitely work on that. All right, a couple more questions here, Caleb. Got about two more minutes. Would you rather throw a 50-yard touchdown pass on the run, on the money, or would you rather have a touchdown run from 25 yards out where you juke some dudes and break some ankles?
Shoot, that's a hard one. I'll probably say a pass. I would say a pass because I can help share the ball, so it's not just my
touchdown. There you go. All right, good answer. So sharing a 50-50, your guy gets a touchdown reception, you get a touchdown throw. I like that answer. How about, like, personally, what do you like to do for fun? You mentioned you go out riding bikes, riding quads, whatever, getting chased by mama bears, almost dying, right, almost getting attacked. Yeah. You got stuff like that. So what other fun stuff do you like to do?
Some I'll go to my cabin with my family.
In Shaver? Or where's the cabin at?
We have a cabin in right by Tenaya Lodge, like Yosemite area. And then I play a lot of video games. Sometimes I'll play basketball, like, with my friends and all that. But, yeah.
What video games?
I play a lot of, like, 2K, Madden, all the sports games.
So sports games.
Call of Duty, too.
Okay. Yeah. Are you going to get the new Call of Duty?
Yeah, probably.
You are? Who's buying it?
Me.
Dad or you?
Well, shoot, I always buy it, but my mom doesn't like me spending money. So
it's like $80.
Yeah.
$80. I know the pre-sale's on.
I always have to beg if I ever spend money. I'm always begging my mom. And sometimes she'll let me. Sometimes she won't.
All right. I got Call of Duty, too, so maybe one of these days we'll squat up, see your screen name pop up there. All right. A couple more questions here for Caleb. What would be your dream school?
From
college?
To be honest, I don't know. I have a lot of dream schools in mind, and it's just kind of whoever happens to be at the – I've had dream schools growing up, just kind of switching off since I was little, but I don't really have a dream school in mind right now.
How about – what would be the perfect ending to this junior year of high school football? So you got Edison Memorial Madera. And then the playoffs. You guys qualified for the playoffs with that third win last night. So what would be a dream scenario for you and the rest of the team moving forward?
Probably winning a section title, whatever playoff we get into, and possibly even state, you know, because I feel like we have the ability to do it. And we're just now getting started. And we're just now building our team towards the end of the season, and it's only going to get better.
That's awesome. Talking with Caleb Matthews. Caleb, it was a pleasure. I've watched your career over the last couple of years, and you know, I've heard nothing but great things about you. You're very respectful. You're a beast on the field. You had 1,400 yards before last night's game, 15 touchdowns. You only added to it in the win against Bullard. So appreciate you coming in. It was a pleasure to talk to you. Good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. That was Caleb Matthews, Justin Garza quarterback. Big win against Bullard last night. All right. One more break, and then we'll wrap everything up on 1430 ESPN. 1430 ESPN, I'm your host, Paul Metters. Had a really good show. Thank you to Gabe Camarillo, Jorge Rodriguez. Thank you to Brandon Nagel of Clovis East. Thank you to Ryan DeSantos, head coach at Sierra Pacific, and Caleb Matthews. Had a great conversation with him, quarterback at Justin Garza. Big win against Bullard last night, 27-10. Bulldogs, 5 o'clock tonight against Wyoming. 5.5-point spread, favored by the Dogs. I think the temperature, 81 degrees is going to be the kickoff there. Let's go Dogs. I want to give a quick shout-out to Fresno Christian's Rob Fauché. He's got his 500th win overall. He's been coaching a lot of sports over there for a lot of time. He's actually the eye in the sky for Paul Leffler. He's a binocular guy that helps Paul spot games. So they're brothers-in-law. So congrats to Rob Fauché of Fresno Christian. Thank you guys for listening. Really appreciate you. Have a great weekend, and we will talk to you next week.
You're listening to the home of the San Francisco Giants, KFIG Fresno, 1430 ESPN.
And first up, college football. 3 games in the fourth quarter, including the Red River rivalry leading up to its reputation